Okay, I'm going to sell to you a base core, which is a specific large measure of dirt. Mida bechevel, and it's I'm going to measure it by rope, which means exact measure, very precise. Paul's kosher, yes, sir. Paul's kosher if.
Is Bob Bosch mostly concerned with land or
buying and selling stuff?
Okay.
Not just land.
Okay.
Basically, often a model of Hamida Bechevel, if it's supposed to be a precise measure, Pachas Goshri Nakib, if he ended up therefore delivering less than the transaction was supposed to, then you deduct from the purchase, you deduct Hosir Goshri. If he added on something, then Yachzir, so the buyer has to give it back. Bim Amarlo, if, however, the buyer said, or the seller said, it was stipulated in the contract, some leeway. He said a rope measure, but if a little bit less, meaning that won't be necessarily 100% price. Besides, afili piches rova lasa, even if it's off by a rova per saw, which is 1/24. A rova is a quarter and of a cob and there's six cob in a saw, so it's 1/24. Assuming that there's a margin for up to 1/24. If it's Pachas Rovosar, it's a little bit less, that much, by that much less, or Hosir Rovosar, that much more, then Igyo, we say that the sale stands as is. Yosim and Ganap, it's more than that, Yasa Cheshman, then they have to reckon what the difference was. Well, Ma'al Machzilla, what does the seller give back? The seller give him more land, the seller refund money? Well, if the seller was off and he did not sell enough, what does he give back? So we say Mos, Mao Maxlo, he gives what he's giving back. Mos, he gives it back money, refunds out of the purchase price. If he wants a Maxlo Kark, if he wants, he gives him back the land. Vilomamru, why do they say Maxlo Mos, why do they say he gives it back money? The Apostle Shemokha to actually make it to the seller's advantage. In other words, the seller always gets advantage where a mistake was made. Jean was sheer beside the base Tisha carbon. If there was enough land worth, in order to make it worth his while, the Mocher, to still cultivate it, which is the measure of 9 kav in a field, and Begina base Chatzi kav and Begina, which is a vegetable garden, much, much less, 1/18 of that, half a cob. Well, Kadiva Rebbe Kivan, one level less than that, 1/36 of the measure by a field-based robot, amount which it takes to grow a quarter of a cob. Maslo Akarka. So then, let's talk about the other way around. The seller, the buyer, gives back the land to the seller. So the seller can decide that he wants land instead of money. Right, instead of additional payment, he wants money. The laws are over Vada Maxilo. Now, when they give back the land, in this case, he doesn't just get back the quarter. Elas kol hamosar, but rather all the excess. Now, that's not exactly clear what that means. It has to be really turned around in order to understand it. What it means is that if the mistake is by 1/24, right? So I might say, let's say if the mistake was by 1/23, which is a little bit larger than 1/24. So you don't just go give back enough to bring it down to an acceptable error, to 1/24 or less. Rather, you give back all the error, right? In other words, once you're off by over the limit, you don't just pare it down to the limit, but you pare it down to what it actually should have been. Okay? Says Marhacha Marhigio, and our mission says that next Mishnah, it says Higio that up to 1/6 an error is permitted, which obviously is very similar to the amount which constitutes onah, right? Even though there's no onah, there's no formal prohibition of ripping somebody off by land, unless you go real, way, way higher. But nevertheless, the leeway, as the next Mishnah put it, is a quarter. Is a sixth in being an error, right? When it's an error, not a potential ripple. Here, the leeway is only Here you say not that way, right? Here you say it's not just a it's not 1/6, rather 1/24. And he said lo so ro varmaxi lo. Not only that, when you give it back, you don't just give back to make it less than 1/24, but rather elokomos, or everything which is in excess. In other words, the shear here is much, much more straight. Right, it's 1/24 as opposed to 1/6, right? So there's Ma'arma, so he says, Mikema Chamotzio Lepachos Michevo, Machzira Tlamido Kechevo. Here, although the because of Mishnah, the Gemara doesn't fully give the answer is really very simple. The answer is that here he says he's going to give it based on a survey, based on rope. So therefore, the margin of error is much smaller, because he said he's going to measure very precisely when he does it, right? That's why the margin of error is severely, severely restricted. And therefore, also, the other thing that's explaining here is why you go back down fully. In other words, you don't just get within the margin of error, which is to go in into 1/24, rather you go back down to no error whatsoever, because once you mention that, once you mention the rope measure, so it's true that the rope measure can itself be off by 1/24 if you said chaser yeser. But once it's off by more than that, since you mention rope measure, you drive it back down to what precisely the amount should have been, no more, no less, right? So that's it says in Cambridge Motzil Pachmichabel. Once you are going to less than the proper margin of error, so then you could go back to a precise margin. And the Rishonim here, which you just said, is a little bit unclear the words, but the meaning is relatively clear, that you go from a margin of error. Did it come together?
Yeah, it's my fault.
It's your fault, okay. You go from a margin of error, if you're going from above a margin of error, then you go back down to nowhere whatsoever. And also that when you promise to do it based on a survey, so it's precise, 1/24, no more, no less, okay? Now, the next Mishnah, halacha gimel, you guys missed one halacha. Halacha gimel.
Missed the what?
One halacha. We're on the chafav on Rav now. I came late because I got stuck in the snowbank outside in the driveway. This yeshiva should be sued for not clearing its driveway.
It's right here. Coming in. I made a mistake of coming in this way as opposed to through the light.
Okay. Anyway, what?
Meet
of a chevel. I was thinking of that when I was burning my rubber. All right, meet of a chevel. Now, if a person said in the contract, mida v'chevel im choser im yeser. Now, mida v'chevel means precise measure. Choser yeser means slightly off. So, if you, it depends what language, how you wrote in the shtar. If you wrote first mida v'chevel, precise, and then you wrote hein im choser im yeser, if it's off a little bit more, a little bit less, bitul im choser im yeser, mida v'chevel. So, you go by the second clause, and therefore it'll be up to a 1/24 off. It doesn't have to be precise, exactly precise. On the other hand, if you wrote hein choser yeser mida b'chevel, first you wrote a little bit less, a little bit more, and then you wrote the words mida b'chevel, then bito mida b'chevel is hein choser yeser, then it's got to be absolutely precise, because the second clause is always primary. Considering bananas, and that's when bananas holds tfos loshen achron. We go up to the second language of the shtar, not the first language of the shtar. Chachom are not sure about that. Now, what if you didn't promise precise surveyor's measurements, which is measuring by rope. Rather, you gave certain signs and certain boundaries as being the areas of which to demarcate the field. So then you have a much greater margin of error. Pachash tu sigio, if it's even off by a sixth, then if the sale still stands. Ach tu sinake. If it's up to a sixth, in other words, meaning that a sixth, if it's more than a sixth off, then you drive it back down to slightly under a sixth. In other words, let's say it was off by a fifth, right? So you have to drive it back down the error to under six. But in contradiction to the previous Mishnah, where it was done by a surveyor's tool, and if it's over 1/24 off, say it's off by 1/23rd,
So then when you correct the error, you correct it back to no error because of the surveyor's methods which are meant to be employed. But where there are no surveyor's methods employed, just the general demarcation, and the error was by more than a sixth, all you have to do is drive the error back down, not to nil, but back down to something less than a sixth. Okay? Once it's, say, a seventh of the error, as opposed to a sixth, then you're okay. All right? So it says the Gemara, really our Mishnah, except we use the word Yigio in the Mishnah, we use the word Yigio in the Gemara. Tanya Reb Chiya said, Amoicher Ev, really, no, it's the Mishnah, at least as far as I can know. Amoicher Ev Chavero. If somebody sells a slave to his friend, Nim Tsogarev could be used to turn out the slave was a thief or a kidnapper, Yigio. That's why it's a valid sale. Most of them are thieves or kidnappers. So therefore, tough, right? However, Nimtza Lisim, it turns out that he's an armed bandit. A Mukhtal Machos, or he's somebody who's been designated to be conscripted into the king's service as a soldier, Loigio, then that is not going to be expected, and therefore in that case, the sale is not a valid sale. Okay, now getting back to our Mishnah itself, Rabbi Huna Amar, Shtusatz or Menachet. If it's off by a sixth precisely, then also you have to restore the error, not completely, of course, like we said before, rather to drive it slightly, to slide down to the sixth. So sixth in our mission is like more than a sixth, okay? In other words, that also seems to be correctable error above the accepted leeway. The accepted leeway is up to a sixth. Okay, halacha da. Masnisa. Ha'amil chavir, somebody says to his friend, chati sari mo'chalcho. I'm going to sell you half my field. Mishami b'neim, they reckon the value of the field among them. Notochatzi sadeu, and he takes half of the field, based on value, not based on the area. Chetzi b'dar mani mo'chcho, even if he's going to give you half on the south side, so then mishami b'neitel chetzi b'dar, he takes half the value just on the house side. The south side, in other words, they don't divide it up geographically equally, they weight it based on value, just that his portion will come on the south. The recipient accepts upon himself the responsibility of Mokum HaGoder, making a fence in that area of a choritz, and the furrow or ben choritz, and the furrow, there was a larger furrow and a smaller furrow behind the fence in order to prevent wild animals jumping over the fence. The Kabu choritz, how much is the deeper furrow, which is immediately next to the fence, shishotvam sixtvachim. But ben choritz, literally the son of a furrow, which is a little bit further behind that, is shlosha, the street furrow. So that's in order to prevent an animal from getting a grip in the ground and jumping up over your fence, so you make these furrows all around, so they each have to participate in making the furrows around the area which they now own. Okay? Time to learn. Somebody says, this guy is a nut. Okay? He says, friend, I'm going to sell you half my field. So far, so good. But Reuven is on one side of you, and Shimon's on the other side of you. And Levi's on half of your third side. Okay? So what does he mean? How is he describing here half a field? Reuven, Shimon, half of Levi. How do we have such a concept? So it says, three ways. Now, pandor is either a belt or a musical instrument, depending on how you learn. But a pandor would look like this. I don't know if you guys like, kind of like a J. It would look like, these are just my surmises. There's no guarantees I'm correct. But you go, Reuven, Shimon, and half of Levi, dividing up to half of the field. Can you see that at all?
I can see the diagram.
Yeah, so it's Reuven, Shimon, half of Levi. That's how you divide the field 50-50. Okay, because that's what he said. He defined the borders. Reuven, Shimon, half of Levi. That's Kamin Pador. The next line of Gemara is Zeromer. The other one says, Nisos Kamin Matlis. Like a belt, or a rag, I should say, not a belt, sorry, like a towel. Now, there are two ways of understanding this. I don't know which one is correct. Either it's like this, like Reuven, Shimon and half of Levi. Instead of being a J, which is hollow in the middle, it's like an angle, right? Like an L, right? It's like a thick L. That would be the second way of learning it. One way of learning it. The other way of learning it is just like a straight tau. That half of Levi, even though he said Shimon on one side, and half of Levi on the other, so Reuven on one side, half of Levi on the other side, what he meant is that from Levi, the line should go straight out to wherever on Reuven's border it falls out. So it actually would just be a straight up half. It's not clear what Matlis means. Does Matlis mean like two different precise patches? Or does it mean like one long town? Okay? I'm not sure which way to word it. And then, by the last part is, Chadamar, Nosil can mean psika. He gives him like a tooth. Or not like, you know, like something which is interrupted. Now that's the picture Pnei Moshe has. Well, Pnei Moshe's picture doesn't really make any sense. Because where's the half of Levi? So actually, the way I redrew it in my Gemara, on Levi's side, there's half of Levi's boundary coincides with my boundary, and half does not, because I divide up Levi's boundary, half of the halves are in the corners, and the open half is in the middle. So it's Reuven, Shimon, and half of Levi in two quarters, like that picture in the Pnei Moshe, but giving some thickness over here at the edges to where he meets up with Levi in order to make it truly correspond to the opposite half. Okay? Don't ask me why. I told you before. I have no idea why a guy would divide up his field this way. He's sick. But that's the way we would have divided the field in that case. Okay? Everybody more or less understand that? Okay, those are three diagrams. So that's the end of the parak. Now we go on to the next parak. Here's an open. It's on all technicality that he uses cockamamie lashon of Reuven, Shimon, and half of Levi. How are we supposed to deal with that? That's usual. How are we supposed to deal with that and make his stipulation work out?
So that's the person doesn't. This is how we have to divide it.
Yeah, those are different ways of dividing up to fulfill his statement. I think this statement is kind of saying where he himself doesn't know what he meant. We don't know what he meant, he doesn't know what he meant. So we have to read it to whatever is equitable and fits the criteria. Okay, yesh tochlu manchil. Total change of subject. The rest of the Sechto Tikh talks about bequests. And quests and corollary halachos thereof. Only three more brackets, but they're long ones. Yesh tochlu manchil. There are people who bequeath and are bequested too. People who bequeath but are not bequested, the opposite. There are people who are bequested to and people who bequeath. There are people who are bequested to but they cannot bequeath. There are people who can neither be bequeathed to nor bequest. Hey, and those who cannot receive a be bequeathed, nor may they themselves bequest. These are the cases where you have people who can inherit and cause others to inherit as well. A father passed on inheritance to his children, and the children pass on inheritance to their father, right? The brothers from the father's side, they also can bequest to their brother if they have no children, or the brother can bequest to them. Now, though that's the first segment of our Mishnah. Ish as imo, a man vis-a-vis his mother, v'ish as ish, or a man vis-a-vis his wife, uvnei achios, and nephews, sons of sisters, nochlin, they can bequeath to others. In other words, they can inherit. The son can inherit the mother. The son can inherit the wife.
the nephews can inherit their father's sister's their father's sister. However, it doesn't wait the other way around. They can't bequest to those others. In other words, children cannot leave bequests to their mother. Mothers never inherit. Nor husbands leave bequests to their wives. Wives never inherit, right? Nor nephews to their aunts. The aunts never inherit. Okay. So says the Gemara. What's it says? Mishnah. Next case. Aisha's bino, vayishas bala, a woman vis-a-vis. I just read that one, right? Sorry. Va'achim mina aim, brothers, half brothers through your mother. In other words, you share a common mother. Lo nochi v'lo manchilim. Since nachla always goes to the father's side. So therefore, if you have brothers share a mother, there's no bequest, neither to or from them. Okay? Say nachos kahu. How does it work in giving priorities? Ish kimus, if a man dies, uben alone has no son. Vavartus nachos solibito, you transfer his portion to his daughter. Haben kon labas. However, the son precedes the daughter. If the son has any surviving child progeny, then they take precedence over the surviving daughter of the father. And similarly, a daughter comes prior to all the brothers of the deceased. And all the progeny of the daughter, they come before the brothers of the deceased, even if the daughter herself is no longer alive. The brothers precede the uncles. Same idea. Also, the progeny of the brothers of the deceased come before the uncles of the deceased. That was the general principle. Anybody who comes first in the inheritance, Yotze Recho, if he has progeny, they also come first in inheritance. V'ab Kain Mekol Yotze Recho, a father, it comes before all his children. I'll explain what that means. Says the Mishnah. Ksivit says, Yishkemus, a person who dies, Uben Enlo doesn't leave a son. Rabbi now also transfer his portion Levito to his daughter. Tiny Rabbi Shmuel Darshan, this is Babi as well. Shina Kosov Nachos also called Nachos Shabbatara. This the portion, this inheritance is different than all inheritance measured Torah. Shabbat see. Right all of them, it says Unisatem. It says give over the portion to somebody. Here it says Vavartem, right? Kansi Vavartem. Ibor dinu, it transgresses justice. Shetea bows to righteousness that a daughter should inherit. Really? That a daughter should inherit, it was a tremendous chiddush, and it goes against the grain of the Torah, which only gave inheritance to the male side. So therefore, that's why it's Ibor din, it goes over and distorts the initially given aloha. Now, Chachme Akum Omri, the sages of the non-Jews, now they're going to argue now about Psukim, the sages of the non-Jews with us. So therefore, the Mashbiach is not so happy saying that they're true non-Jews we're discussing here. He preferred to say the story about the sages of the Kutim, who will deal with Psukim, who won't necessarily deal with them the way Chazal want them to be dealt with, and that's how the story works out. Chachmei Akum Omrim, the non-Jewish sages say Ben Ubatz Shavin Ka'achas. A son and daughter inherit equally, right? Like modern American law, right? Son and daughter inherit equally. V'inu darshi, how do they know this? Because they dash like this. Uben ein lo. It says if he doesn't have a son, transfer the portion to the daughter, right? Haim yesh lo. So what does it mean? What about if they're both alive, the son and daughter? So they infer that it only goes to the daughter exclusively upon the death of her brother. right? But if the brother's still alive, it doesn't go to her exclusively, right? It goes to the it goes to both of them, right? Now, I made a mistake. Sorry. Did I? No, I didn't make a mistake. I said it correctly. Let me read it inside again, though, because I confused myself. They darshan uben ein lo and v'yesh lo shneim shavim. If there's a son and daughter, they're both equal. You see, when they did you get the Chachmei Akum? Chachmei Akum Omri. Benu Bas Shavim Kachas. A son and daughter inherit equally. Like modern American law, the son and daughter are equal in heirs. Dino Darsh, the Darshan, Ben Enlo. If he doesn't have a son, that goes exclusively to the daughter. That's the Pasuk says. And Yeshlo, they deduce from this, if he's got a son, the Shnei Shavim, the son and daughter are equivalent. That they both inherit together. Okay? Which we don't possibly. We possibly only the daughter, and there's only son inherits. Right. It's a feminist type position. He simply asks a question like this, folks. He doesn't say, Vim Elo Bas. It says later on in the Parsha, if he doesn't have his daughter, you give his Nafla to his, to the deceased brothers, right? Then you give it to the brothers of the deceased. Who doesn't have a daughter, they give it to the brothers. Would you want to say there also that if there are brothers to the deceased, Shneim Shavim, the daughter and the deceased brothers are on the same footing? Can't be. Vaton Modinli, you told me, don't you concede to me, the lace it should be Cain. It's not like that, right? That but where there is a daughter, then the brothers don't get anything, right? But why, according to your law of reasoning, it should not work that way. It should be, when there is a daughter, that and there are brothers of the deceased, that the daughter and the brothers of the deceased should split up equally. Right? Because it says, Ubas Elo, then it goes exclusively to the brothers of the deceased. But in Yeshlo Bas, it would sound like it goes both to the daughter and to the brothers, right? That's not true. So it's not true either, meaning that the Chachmei Akum conceded to the drasha of Chachamim. Just like when there's we're going from daughter to other to brothers of the deceased, we only go to the brothers if there is no daughter. So too, by going from son to daughter, we only go to the daughter if there is no son. Okay, the same idea. So says the Tzedokim army. The Tzedokim have a different version of this. The Tzedokim say basa ben vabas. If the deceased had a granddaughter through his son, and his son predeceased him, right? And he has a daughter. Okay. So in that case, they said shneim shavim. They said if the heirs are the granddaughter and the daughter, they're both equivalent. Dino dashe de dashe ma bas beno abam ikoch beni. If my granddaughter, who comes from my son, Yorashteni, this is the dead man talking in the coffin, right? He says, if the daughter of my son comes from, via my son, in other words, it's one generation removed, Yorashteni, she inherits me, Biti, my daughter, Abami Koichi, who's all, no generations removed, she inherits me, Ain't no din shatir shani, is not kavkorma, that she inherits me. So if there's a granddaughter and daughter, that Stoikim learned that they split it equally. Some of them, they said to them, no, it's not a comparison. If you say by the daughter of the son, is true. She's coming from the power of her father and whoever else was around. The brothers who are the children of the deceased. Not to be confused with the brothers we told you before, were the brothers of the deceased. Right, she only coming from the power of the brothers, right? Tomru bebas, Shayna Baal Mikoach Azoke, were you going to compare that to a daughter who comes directly from the old man? meaning that there's simply no comparison. Just because it's the other way around. The daughter, the granddaughter. I think I said it wrong. The granddaughter is superior because the granddaughter comes from a son, as opposed to the daughter who doesn't come from a son. She comes directly from the old man, but in a way which doesn't make her entitled to any inheritance. So there was no comparison. Because the stronger case actually by the one generation move, because of the much more direct link chain to the father. So I'm again, surely comes from the brothers, which is good for her, right? It's actually Girsa in the Bavli. Which makes it more palatable. Which means that even if there are brothers, she'll still get. This granddaughter, she'll elbow her way in among her uncles, and she'll get property from her uncles, right? They have to give it to her because she represents her deceased father. So even if she has a bunch of uncles, other children of the deceased, she can come in and say, I want my portion as well. As opposed to Tomru Bibasha and Shaina the Bas of the daughter of the old man herself. Shaina Bamikalazakh came only for the power of the old guy. The way the Bavli puts it more succinctly is Torah Bashkin Hura Kocha Bamakamachim. She can't go. Even the daughter, who's the sister of the surviving children, the brothers, can't go and claim a portion of the estate. So therefore she surely can't claim a portion of the estate if they're not the parties, if a later generation are parties. So the bottom line is that her claim is not equal in status and receives nothing when there is a granddaughter who comes from a son. Okay, obviously granddaughters come from a son, then she receives nothing. Says Mara, Tamulomar is a new issue. Even though Tamulomar is usually approved, here it's a new statement. It says, Uchol bas yoreshes nachmi matos. It says, any daughter inherits property from matos. Matos is how many shvatim? Two. V'chihechev shalom basi rashti matos. How is it such a thing? Where does the daughter inherit two shvatim? No such thing, right? Eleti pater, it's about like this. Avia mishevetev v'imam mishevrach. There is such a thing. When her father's from one shevet and her mother's from another shevet. Our truth is, that's also true by a boy. It's not just by a girl, right? But it says, Kobasim, the puzzle is still there talking about daughters. But it's going to tell us obliquely about sons as well, that you can have a son or a daughter who inherits both Shvatim, both the mother and the father, because we said there is a contribution of Sahim. Okay? It says, Umar Adkadun, Benesov, Avisaben. I'm sorry, Benesov. We know that a son inherits a father. But how do we know the father inherits the son? How do we know such a thing? Then Marmayim Aben, I'll tell you. Aben, Sheino Bo Elimikoch Av. A son, that I shouldn't say, how do we know he inherits? How do we know he inherits prior to his other children who are brothers of the deceased? Or maybe he gets an equal portion with his other children, brothers of the deceased. Maybe he gets no portion at all. Now I know he gets a superior portion. Okay? So it says, in other words, he gets the only portion. I should make that clear. If there's a father of the deceased around, even if they're brothers of the deceased around, the brothers get nothing. The father gets everything. Father inherits everything from a deceased son, even if there are other brothers around, to help him divvy up the spoils. So it says, Akhu ben Esav, obviously, man, how we know that a son inherits a father and does not have to give to the brothers of the deceased. So you say, Ma'im Aben, if the son himself, Shein Obel Mikolachov, he only cuts the capacity of his father. Hare Yoshoi inherits. Ha'av Shein Karov, I misread this. Let me do it again. And the son himself, all he comes from as a result of the father, right? Every Yosher inherits him. Ha'av Shena ben Balam Mikocha, the father was much closer, in that the son comes from him. Eino Dinshe Yosher is not a Kabbal Chomer that he inherit the son. Amarkra, the pasuk says, Karov, Karov, Kodem. This is actually not a Kasha, but explanation of the Pesukim in line with what we're saying, that the Kal V'Chomer teaches us that the father should get before the son, and there this pasuk also teaches that the father should get before his other brother, before his surviving sons, and so too the pasuk teaches us, and as far teaches us the same thing. I'm not sure I'm getting this across in an accurate fashion, but the idea is that we're trying to prove that where there is a father, and there are other brothers who are sons of the father, that only the father inherits and not anybody else. Okay? So we're saying that the reason why a son inherits is because he's closer than anybody else to the father, biologically speaking, right? So to the same is true in the reverse. If the son predeceases the father, then the father is the closest. And since closeness is the determining factor in terms of who gets to inherit first, so that's why the father inherits first before the brothers get the divvy, which means basically the brothers get nothing in this case. Okay, the brothers of the deceased get nothing. Okay? Yeah? Okay. So it says more about Akdum Bas Ben. I'm sorry, Akdum Bas. We know now that a daughter can inherit two tribes. Ben. How do we know a son can inherit two tribes? Maybe the only tribe is the tribe of his father. Maybe any land which goes to any additional tribe doesn't go to him. Says the Gemara. If the daughter who has diminished capacity to inherit her father, you enhance her capacity to you enhance her capacity to inherit her mother. In other words, even though a daughter where there's a son does inherit the mother, she does get. You see, it's not exactly similar. What it means is that a daughter has deficiency in Hilchos Yerusha, but by the. And nevertheless, she inherits her mother. So Kal V'Chomer, his son who doesn't have those deficiencies in Hilchos Yerusha, he certainly shouldn't inherit the father, the mother. Again, I don't have a difficult day. I'm sorry, it's Thursday night. if the daughter who has difficulties in inherits her mother, the son who doesn't have any such difficulties in inheritance should certainly inherit his mother. Okay? If the one who's weaker inherits the mother, certainly the one who's stronger should inherit his mother as well. That's all the word is saying. So anyway, that's what it says here. Let me say it inside. A daughter who has less strength vis-a-vis a father, in other words, if there's a son, she's pushed aside altogether. You get her advantage that she does get the mother's property, the mother bequeaths. Ben, a son, she who gets from the father's property. As a first on a first level, you know, he doesn't get pushed aside for some other reason. He gets immediately. So, Eino Din Shayin Yapikos Nakam Chomer, that we should give him the authority. Bin Nichsei Ain to inherit his mother's property as well.
So nimtzei sabasa mei miyakaruf. So it comes out that a daughter is learned out from the pasuk because it says v'chol bas yoreshes nachla mimatos, right? It says two matos is plural. From this we learn that the daughter can inherit both father and mother if she's the only. There are no sons, and we extrapolate for that by svara to learn that the same thing happens by his son as well, right? That the son also can inherit his mother. Okay, let's say that again. Nimtzeis habas lemeida, that a daughter inherits a mother, is learned from the pasuk. Vaben, and the son inherits the mother, is learned from the kavachor. Period. Ben kohen labas, does the son always come before a daughter? So says more, no, not necessarily. Rav Shimon Lozer, Rav Shimon Mishumer Yizchaya ben Akatzav. He said, "Nei Rav Yizchaya the butcher." Kacher Rav Shimon Yehuda Omer. This Rav Shimon ben Yehuda used to say, "Mishum Revi name a Revi." Halacha Rav Yizchaya Lozer Rav Yizchaya that the son and daughter inherit equally. Rabbi Yanai Kaputkai or Avle Uvda. Rabbi Yanai Kaputkai had a case. Baba Dayanim. And the judges were Rav Hunav, Rav Yudim and Pasif, and Rav Acha. Rav Acha said they want the Paskin that the daughter gets inheritance in such a case. The case came in front of them. So Rav Acha said the Paskin of Paskin, so it's Ben, who was it? That the daughter gets a portion with the son, like Rabbi Yishai ben Akatsav. The people at Paskin like him. So they are, Shemchutzar said, you are the same. Our brothers, Chutzar, are the others are idiots or commoners. They train us as aloch, and they make a mistake aloch because the psak is that only the son gets. Furthermore, the Inun Samchin, Dor Rabbi Meloch, Rishab Levi, they hold that the tradition they received from a certain Rabbi Meloch, the Rishab Levi, is accurate. For lazy, okay, it's not true. Rabbi Yishab Levi says, hey, look, Rabbi Yishaya Katzav. The halacha is not like Rabbi Yishaya the butcher. In other words, that the daughter is not get if there is a son. Rabbi Barbara, Rabbi Chiyah B'Sher Yod said also, hey, look, Rabbi Yishaya. Better Katzav. Rabbi Lezer, avoid Rabbi Yitzchok, Bar Nachman, Lezer, Father, Yitzchok, now, Hashem, Rabbi Yishaya said, hey, look, Rabbi Yishaya also said, look, like Rabbi Yishaya. Rabbi Yan, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yassin. Rabbi Yan, Yochanan was sitting. All Rabbi Yudah, the seer's Rabbi Yudah, was the Nazi generation, the grandson of Rabbeinu HaKadosh came in. Vishal, he asked the following question. What does it mean a daughter inherits from two matos? The question we had at the top of the page. Armalay, so they said, they gave a twist on it. They said, Makish Mato of Lamato Aim. There is a parallel drawn between the treatment of the father and the treatment of the mother. Mamata aim, just like the by the treatment of the mother. Ei labas b'mokum aben, the daughter has no portion where there is a son. Av mata aim, so too by a portion derived from a mother, it's the same thing. Ei labas b'mokum aben, she gets the daughter gets nothing if there is a son. Ochilov says more, maybe it's the opposite. Mamata. Maybe it's the opposite. Matel A, the shaven of the mother. Yesh tovas mokum aben, the daughter does get in that case, even though there is a son. Av matel av yesh tovas mokum aben. So too, where there is a shaven of the father. The boss may inherit a mother. More than that. Maybe we can say by the mother, that the mother actually, the daughter and son participate in the dividing up her property. So to, let's say, by a son. The son, when he inherits the mother, he and the daughter divide the property equally. Actually, it makes no sense what I just said. If, in the case of a daughter, no, I'll have to start the case of this. In the case of the mother dies, the son and daughter can inherit equally.
So why not when the father dies? Why not say the same thing? That's the worst question. It's a very simple question. I'm just obfuscating. If in the case where the mother dies, both the daughter and son can inherit equally. So that's also the case of the father dies, both the mother and son can, the daughter and son can inherit equally. Okay? So he says, Ochilu, that was actually Rabbi Nasir's question to the rabbis. Say the same thing. Only Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Yana, ask me, let us leave here. Let's say Guvra boy Mishma good meal of the rice. This guy, the Nasi, he doesn't want to hear a word of Torah. He doesn't want to pass us to pass, he wants to pass him for himself. Who might we pass him the other way? We pass him that both by inheritance by the father and inheritance by the mother, I think we pass him this way, that the son gets and not the daughter gets. I'm not 100% sure about that. Let's see if we can find this quickly to check if that's correct.
What? So that you know, see, he's trying to be a pest. So and I don't know if he's trying to be a pest, but they deemed him being a pest. He wasn't accepting this halacha, so they left the Beis Medrash. Vayishasimo, it says a man inherits his mother. Vayishasishto, man inherits his wife. Lo vayishasimo, lo vayishasishto. Now there's a line missing here. Actually, it's clear, though it's not this Korea leader. It says later on in the Mishnah also. It says. But it says the flip side of that. It says the Ishasimo, it says later on, but not a mother her son. It says Ishasisto, it says later on, not a wife her husband. So is it obvious? Why does it have to say, why does it say it twice? So, says the I skipped the line. No, I didn't skip the line. No, I didn't skip anything. Okay. So he said, so
So the question is why we need both the why we need both sides in the Mishnah. The Gemara doesn't really answer. The question, the answer is obviously clear. The answer is really, we need both. We're just trying to be symmetrical. But the Gemara does ask why we need both. That a father a son inherits his mother, and a husband inherits his wife, and also we have to say the opposite, but not a mother inheriting her son, nor a wife inheriting her husband. Is that obvious? One's the flip side of the other. Okay, the Gemara there doesn't really answer. Rabbi Yitzchak boy Meimar, Yitzchak wanted to say a it says here fasteno, but the other gears in the scroll is fantasm. He wanted to say a fantasy. Now what does fantasy mean? He wanted to say a chiddush. Well, looked at the, he had to say a shir, he wanted to say a chiddush. V'lo ashko, he couldn't find a chiddush to say. So what did he say? He said, umarato yechusatinei, so he said this other halacha. This other halacha, the proper gears is on the bottom here, the Gilead and Ephraim. You have two lines of Gilead and Ephraim, the natives still have the old Gilead. Okay. So what it basically is the same as the word, it's a little bit different, a little bit shorter. Ben says the son, Eli Ella Ben, I only know the son inherits. Ben, I know the grandson inherits if the son is dead. Or Ben Bas, a grandson through a daughter if there were no boys. Tam Lomar Ben, says Ben, Mikom Makom, wherever the word is going to be a son. Bas, simply a daughter, Eli Ella Bas, I only know the daughter herself. Bas Ben, Bas, I don't know the granddaughter as well. Tam Lomar, it says Bas, Mikom Makom, Bas needs no matter what. Now, then the last thing where it says, getting back to itself, three lines from the end, the last word of the line, Achim, brothers, Eli Elo Achim, only no brothers inherit. B'nei Achim, how do we know that the sons of the brothers, or B'nos Achim, the daughters of the brothers, B'nei Bonos Achim, the grandchildren of the brothers, I don't know, they all inherit, if there were no sons and daughters, we always go to the closest relative, wherever that is, And even further down the line of progeny, those are the one who inherit the deceased individual. Okay? Says Mishnah further, halacha base. B'nos Slavcha natu shloisha chalokim b'nachla. The daughters of Slavcha took three portions in their inheritance land of Israel. Chelek Aviyin, the portion of the father shared, the Yoytim Yotim tribe, who left Egypt. The Chalkei Machav, and his portion with his brothers, Benichse Chafer, in the property of his father. Rishayah Bukhar, besides his Bukhar, Netoshne Chalokim, got two portions. As the Bukhar gets two portions. So I'm going to explain all these things in the Quran. Benot Slavchon, only day Moshe Benim. The Benot Slavchon said before Moshe Benim. Im Onu Benot Slavchon, if we are the Benot Slavchon, meaning if we're considered to be children, then, Nirash Savina, let us inherit our father. You may not know stuff, if we're not to do it, so I mean, not that they're not biological, but any that they don't inherit. Tisya, because there are no heirs. Tisya, then why don't we undergo Yibum or Chalitza? Our mother. Tisya made a letter our mother undergo Yibum or Chalitza, right? Because if daughter's not considered to be kids, so then she didn't leave our father, Slavchon, any kids. So therefore she have to undergo Yibum or Chalitza at this point, right? So Miyad immediately via Kray Moshe as Mishpat Livnei Hashem. Moshe brought their court case before God. Amal Kodesh Baruch said, "Came to Slavcha Dovros, the daughters of Slavcha. They're talking good. Telem Achuzos Nachalo, give them a portion in Eretz Yisrael. Telem Karkos, give them land. Telem Metaltim, give them also movable objects. Telem Chelik Aviyem." And get a portion of father among his father, the father's brothers. Now, what does that mean? So I'm going to explain it a little bit. I actually have two versions. Rabbi Yosher Meir says, "Yotzei Yitzrayim Yischal Koret." When they gave up the land, they gave it up based on the fiction that the people who left Mitzrayim had actually entered the land of Israel. There must be some point of justice in that. But that's how they based it. In other words, everybody used to inherit not what they were holding now when they entered Israel, but on the basis of the last census as they left Egypt. Those are the people who inherit, and whatever was divided up among them evenly was then given over to bequests from generation to generation, but the heirs were the people were there at Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Sefer says, Mishmos Matos Abosot, that when they were counted, distributed, they counted by the names of the Shvatim of their forefathers. So that's the case why it's in Eila that you divide the land to them. And they are not sure in their time to say that to Leila, Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, divide up to men like yourselves. Don't give the land of Israel to women, Chas v'Shalom, or to children. Right? Says the Gemara, right? That men inherit, men get a portion of land, not women and children. He said, like when Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to them, he said, or Hashem was speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Leila techolik oretz. But playing the kind of person, right? Okay. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan leboy oretz is now called oretz. Now it's divided up to the people who enter the land of Israel. In other words, it's the elite cholik. These people should be divided up. Kematam lomar. So that's the case. Why it says Shmos Matos Avovosam Nachlu. Why does it say that by the names of the tribes of the fathers? So this brought down Rashi Chumash. Mishur Nachlus will be called Nachshmoel. This inheritance was different than all other inheritances in the world. How is it different? You call Nachlus by all Nachlus in the world. Chaim Yoshma Mason. Live people inherit from dead people. Here, however, Mason Yorush become Mason Yorushim Chaim. Here the dead people inherited the live people. Now there's a fascinating Rashi where I'll tell which brings it down and you show me it's more explicit later on in the page. Let's say a family had 10 members enter the land of Israel. 9 brothers and 1 cousin. Okay, so they had 2 fathers, right? Do you have that so far? 10 people in land of Israel. 9 brothers, one cousin, and they had 2 separate fathers.
If you divide up the land to your to the people come to Israel, came into Israel, how many portions do you have doled out? 10. And who would have gotten it? The 9 brothers and the 1 cousin, right? If you say Yetzi Mitzrayim this Chalkoritz, how many portions would there be? 2. And the 9 would divide up their portion equally, and the 1 would divide up his portion, I mean, which means he would keep it, not give it to anybody else, right? However, the way it works is that they first used to take, they took the today's census, and they come up with a number 10. But then they just go back to the census of Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? And they take whatever was there in Mitzrayim, right? What would they do with what it says in Mitzrayim? What would they do with the, they would take the numbers now, the 10, and go back to Yetzias Mitzrayim. And how would they divide up then? Right. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's fine like this. In other words, again, you have 2 people at the time. They had 10 kids, 9 and 1. Okay. If you would let conscious clarity, you would have gotten 2 portions. That's all. Would have gone by Ecclesia, so you would have gotten 10 portions, right? But it would be 9 and 1. What you do is you take the 10 and you go back to the 2. You share it among the 2. Now you distribute it among the children at the Eretz Yisrael. So actually you take 10 portions, divide it up among the 2 dead fathers, so it would be 5 and 5. And now the 9 divide up 5, and the 1 cousin divide gets all 5 of the other portion. That's how it works. So you take into account both those at the Eretz Yisrael in determining how much land to get, and determining how to allocate that internally, then you do that based on the Yotzei Mitzrayim.
drawing a blank?
Jones is the first step.
No, it's the second step.
Makes you have two.
Right, but that's the second step. First, you determine how much land based on the North similarity role. Then you determine how the land is distributed is based on the Yetzias Mitzrayim.
Like you said, it's Thursday night.
Lady, do you get it?
I think so. Wow, so what is happening is this one cousin.
The one cousin gains by this.
He gets five.
That's what's happening. He gains significantly by this procedure. Okay? The, I got further ahead than he did in the Bible.
I got just as far as you did.
I need more of... Nady knew more than I did. It's neither all wrong. It's in Pinchas. According to the names of the tribes of Pharaoh, those who are the ones who went out of Egypt. Scripture differentiates this inheritance from all the inheritances from all the inheritance mentioned in the Torah. For reference to all inheritance, the living inherit the dead. But here the dead inherit the living. How is this? Suppose two brothers of those who went out from Egypt who had sons among those who came to the land. One brother had one son and the other had three sons. So he does 1 and 3 instead of 1 and 10. 1 and 9. The one son received one portion and the three sons received 3. For it is stated unto these the land shall be divided. Then their herds reverted to their grandfather and they divided all equally. And that is the meaning of what is stated according to the names of the tribes of their the tribes of their fathers they shall inherit. For after the sons receive their portions, they divide according to the fathers who had gone out of Egypt. But at the beginning they divide according to the number of those who had gone out of Egypt. These four would have received only 2 portions. Now they receive 4 portions. I don't think that Rashi made it any clearer than I said it before. No. But it was less brothers, maybe it works. So if you have 4 brothers entering, 3 brothers and 1 cousin entering the land of Israel, they get 4 portions, right? But since it goes back to the Yotzei Mitzrayim, what's going to end up is the 3 brothers are going to divide up 2 portions. And the other 1 brother, 1 cousin is going to get 2 portions as well. So that's how it's going to work. Okay? So that's Tyre Meshur Kohomer, the Yotzei Mitzrayim, Ula Oldim, the Arvos Moav, he says that to those who left Mitzrayim and those who stood in Arvos Moav, they divided up. In other words, everybody. There were additional portions here. In other words, you got a portion if your father came out of Egypt, and you got an additional portion if you were staying there in Arvos Moav. So it wasn't just that the 4 according to. It wasn't that you got 4 portions and how to reallocate that we went back up. No! You got portions based on 2 elements, both on how many of your family left Mitzrayim and how many of them you are now entering Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Ketzad. How should we, so Mishaya Miyotzi Tzrayim, Vyom Divarvasvot, is there was some guy who both left Egypt and was standing by Arvasvot, Notashnech Lokim, he got two portions of himself. One because he left Egypt, and the other because he's at the Eretz Yisroel. Miyotzi Mitzrayim, he was from the people left Egypt, Velomiyom Divarvasvot, but not people who were standing Arvasvot, because he was dead by now. Right? Or a person wasn't old enough then when they light up, then not that he gets one portion. Okay? So now we're going to have to see how much Benos Tlavchad got as a result of this, as the exercise. But it's already late, and everybody's falling asleep, except for Nady. So we will stop here for this evening. What?